Live, I love saying that, from the Sunset Strip in beautiful Hollywood, California, it's the Bob Dean Show. Yay. Now, we have, first of all, I want to say this before I forget. The Bob Dean Show does not endorse in any way Wells Fargo Home Mortgage because they're fucking crooks. And Tower Urology in Beverly Hills because they are crooks as well. I went in to get my little wee-wee checked in. It was fine. But they didn't tell me when I came out that my insurance wasn't part of their network. You know, so I give them my insurance card. They take all the information. They're like, yes, good afternoon, la, 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 la. And they give me my insurance card back. And then I come out and they go, that'll be $455. And I was like, are you out of your fucking mind? So anyway, I just like to make sure that those are only my opinions, not of my guests or producer, Sammy Junio. Dennis Olsen is not here today. And Kathy St. George is not here today. I hope they're watching. Kathy fell and hit her head. And she's been having some, what do you call it? Neurological issues. She's going to be fine. She's getting better, but she was a little wobbly today, so I told her just to stay home. But she's coming over to our house for movie night soon with her fabulous dog, Maybelline. Yes, and now I am here again with my friend and returning to the Bob Dean Show. Yay! Is Jennifer Diamond, my friend. This beautiful blonde is also a psychic. And she has got her boyfriend with her today, Michael. And I realized that I met you the other night and we had some laughs at the bar, but I don't even know your last name.
Lind, L-I-N-D.
Michael Lind. And you guys are in, and you're a professional poker player.
That is correct.
How interesting is that? Now, remember, you can look at the camera and say hi to everybody right down there.
Hello.
Yay. We're live on Facebook. So you guys are in Boca.
We're in Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, we had to move. I couldn't do the 500-600-mile week drive.
Well, I mean, I know you moved from here.
Yeah, but
I thought Boca. You moved to Boca. Where are you in Lauderdale? I love Lauderdale. I lived there for a long
right
time.
Right in the heart of Fort Lauderdale.
Like, so where?
Yeah, commercial.
Commercial federal. And federal?
Yeah.
My good friends Clark and Dickie, I'll have to meet them sometime. They live in Agoura Hills, but he's a native up there. His folks still live there. I love Fort Lauderdale. My first apartment was, there were four of us guys living in a one-bedroom apartment on Federal Highway at this dive called, and this was in 1982, you know, I was 20, really? 21 years old. And we were just four guys that all moved down there and when we all worked in restaurants. And two guys slept on the floor. Two guys slept in the bed, one guy slept on the sofa, and one guy slept on the floor, and we rotated every night. So it was like my turn on the bed, and then next to David, then David was on the sofa, you know, like that. But that was at the Ancon Apartments on Federal Highway.
And what?
Sunrise, it was between Sunrise and what is...
Can you hear me?
The other one that goes over across to the marina there. I mean, to the ocean. It's not a really great port section of Fort Lauderdale, or at least it wasn't back then. It's probably gentrified now.
17th.
Yeah. Between 17th, it's just about a few blocks up from 17th.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that, you know, you go a little further in, the little houses that have been there forever are nice, but when it was right along Federal Highway, it was a lot of hookers. There were prostitutes that would come and park in the, because there was an alley behind the building where we lived, and they'd park with their Johns right there, and I'd hear them idling, you know, at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'd go out there and bang on the window. I'd be like, get the fuck out of my fucking house. I'm such a...
Breaking up the party.
Yeah, it was kind of fun to watch people just freak out. But now I'm the part of the neighborhood watch. I am too. I'm that old man that screams, get off of my lawn, and I don't have a lawn. So, do you guys go to the beach?
Not yet, too much. We're too busy going from casino to casino.
Yeah, you enjoy the casinos?
We did go to the beach on New Year's or Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve, yeah.
Yeah. You should. Too bad you weren't at my house for my happy birthday baby Jesus cocktail soiree. It's a great party. It's a benefit for the Humane Association, but if you couldn't have been there, at least you're at the beach.
Well, hopefully you'll have something going on this summer for us. We'll be here all summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll definitely have a party.
June, July, August.
We'll definitely have a party. I wish you could be here. Oh, by the way, Sammy, Sunday, the March 10th. And for all of you out there in video and listener land, and Sunday, March 10th is my birthday dance-a-thon at the Abbey. 1 p.m. sharp. Don't be fashionably late, because when people were fashionably late, I wasn't there 2 years ago. I mean, I get drunk and I leave. But we have a ball. That's why we all meet at 1 o'clock, because there's nobody there. And when I drink, I smoke, and I make no apologies for it. And at the Abbey, you can take 2 feet out, and you're outside, so you can smoke.
I love the Abbey.
I do, too. But I don't like it when it's really packed with all the beautiful people. There's too many, you know.
It's hard to avoid in L.A.
Yeah, right.
Everybody's beautiful out there.
You know, I thought about that. Where was I? Oh, when I went to the America's Got Talent auditions, which I there was like 5,000 people in a giant line, like at the airport. You know, it was really fascinating to do, and I haven't heard back, so I guess I don't think that I have any talent. It still, it could be any day, but I, you know, I did my stand up, and I was great. But man, I called my friend on the phone, and I called Nikki Kemp, and you know Nikki, that real pretty black girl that works behind the bar at.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wolfgang, she's a really good friend of mine. Yeah. And I go, I hate to say this because it's so mean. I said, but I've never seen so many unattractive people in my life.
Where?
In Pasadena, in line for America's Got Talent auditions.
Really?
I mean, there were like three-eyed midgets and four. And
oh, that's right, because they got all sorts of stuff going on there.
Yeah, yeah, but they were just some really homely people. And you know, I'm no prize anymore either. But you know. At least I'm tall. So what's new with you guys? I am in the middle of your book, Waking Up Psychic, which you can get on Amazon, and Top 50 Psychics and Mediums in the USA, your second book. Mm-hmm. I have not started yet. And you are working on a third, you're telling us.
Yes, I am.
Tell us about it.
Well.
If you want to.
I'll fill you in later.
Okay. Well, just keep.
Lots of secrets.
Okay, well, that's really. You don't want to reveal them here to our 10,000?
Taking it in stride.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Well, when you, now, because I love to write my comedy, but it has to come in waves. Like, I can't just sit down and go, yeah, I got to write something today. But when I feel like, and the ideas come, there's nothing more fun than
write
just.
For hours?
Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
It's a great feeling.
I haven't spent much time in the last few weeks, so I have to. Get back at it a little bit.
Well, you've been out here. How long have you been? When did you guys get out here?
Week and a half ago.
Week and a half ago.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what's your story, dude? Are you out here for a tournament?
Yeah, I am. I'm here for the World Poker Tour, the LAPC over at the Commerce.
That's awesome. I need to hook you up with my friend Billy Malone. He's an actor. He and his wife, Barbie. Barbie Kligman, she's celebrated in everything. She's all over the television. Well, they're both all over the television in front of and behind the camera. But he's a big poker player, too. He's playing Vegas a lot.
Okay.
But he's just a real good guy. But yeah, so have you been playing poker since you were a kid? What's the story?
No, probably, I'm going to say 8 years ago, in South Florida, you know, got kind of bored and, had friends that were playing poker. So learned, at the Hard Rock and, started out right out the gate playing in larger games. I didn't start them, you know, the guys at the poker table, they loved me cause mm-hmm. you know, I was giving my money away and then, you know, just donating it. But, learned how to play the game and started getting better and better. Last year, the World Poker Tour invited me to be on a TV series filmed here in LA that airs on March 31st on Fox.
This 31st.
That is correct.
Oh, sweet. See, that's something that we need. Correct. So on March 31st on Fox, you can see Michael. Last name again?
Lind, L-I-N-D.
Michael Lind. I'll ask you that 100 times.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And so we'll look for that on the 31st. So that's big business, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it is.
But I mean, do you feel like you've got, because I have another friend, no names mentioned, I really would like to mention because I'm on the outs with this person, but I would never do that. Not kidding. But this person that is got kind of a touch with Baccarat, and this person I know does very well, you know, at the table. So is that kind of a feeling that you have? I mean, like you just like I don't want, for lack of a better term, like a golden, what do you call it, a golden touch or something? I mean, you're just really good at it, or do you feel lucky? Is what I mean. Is luck a big issue in it? With
well, like they say, I'd rather be lucky than good, but. You know, it just depends on the day.
It's little bit of both.
She comes with me a lot. Not only do I play poker, I play baccarat. I'm you know, and blackjack, but high stakes. Mm-hmm. And she keeps me under control though, because I'm a horrible loser. But when I'm winning, the dealers love me because mm-hmm. I tip very well, and you know, I really truly believe in that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, you have to do that.
Yeah, but it just depends on the day. You know, uh-huh. with the luck. You know,
I'm a bad loser too.
Yeah.
The first time I ever gambled, I was in Kansas City with my friend Susan. And, we went to the casino, we dressed and we went to the casino for dinner and, she was playing blackjack and this is back when you put coins in the slot machines And I mean, I was having fun. And I like the old ones where you pull the handle and it pays out the coins. You know, it's just the sound of it. And, you know, that you're actually having it in your hand. These little ticket things are like, eh. But the point is that it was just like in the movies. This guy had been, he's sitting at this machine and he's smoking and there's all these empty wrappers and he's playing the same machine. And I had noticed, and it was like a week night, so there weren't a lot of people around. And I noticed that other, like these old ladies are playing like three in a row. So the guy gets up and leaves, and I'm like, dee, 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 because I didn't want to look like some kind of hick, which of course I was. And I walked over and I put some money in the machine that he had done. And like after the third thing, I hit it for like $180. And I thought I was friggin' Mr. Moneybags, man, because it's like, woo, ding, 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 ding. Everybody's like, yay, right? So what do? I mean, I stand up and I order tequila and I fire up a friggin' Marlboro and I'm playing three machines like this. And of course, in 5 minutes, the $180 is gone. So I go walking back. I'm walking up the aisle with my hands in my pockets. And Susan's a very attractive blonde. And she's sitting at the, she's smoking a cigarette with her legs crossed at the blackjack table. And I woke up and she goes, she doesn't even look. She goes, go away. And I go, what? She goes, I'm not joking. She goes, I know people in this casino and you just made such a jackass out of yourself. Go away. And I was like, my head between my legs. Because I did. I made a complete fool out of myself. But now the Hard Rock, that's in
Fort Lauderdale,
because that they built that. I left Miami in, I think, 95.
Oh, so they built it like after 2005.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's relatively new. So I've been gone for a long time. My days in South Florida were in the 80s and into the 90s.
Well, they had a smaller casino right across the street. You know, where you're able to smoke in there and play back in the olden mm-hmm. days, back when I was there too. I've been in Florida for forever, but so the Seminoles, you know, they had a lot of money to spend. They knew that, you know, hey, they were gonna make some big investments, and you know, Donald Trump was, as a matter of fact, involved in that early on, and then something happened, some litigation and all that other stuff. But it's huge right now. They're building a hotel that looks like a guitar. And it's going to be open November of this year.
Yeah.
It's getting ready for the Super Bowl. But it's going to change gaming in South Florida. I mean, it's going to be, you know, bringing a lot more players to South Florida. When Florida legalized poker, you know, with big buy-ins, you know, it got big then. But it's starting to get bigger and bigger. You know, so it's you know, the Hard Rock is a place to go have fun. But, you know, you can also lose, too, so.
Sure. Well, that's where, speaking of losing, that's where Anna Nicole Smith lost her life, right?
Yeah. That is correct. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. She, right there in the Hard Rock.
Well, now, what's going on in Dania? I rented with a guy named Bob Bernacki. We rented this, he rented it and I moved in, but it was this groovy little house off Griffin Road, right across from Tropical Acres. You know where that old steak, I'm assuming it's still there.
I don't know if it is.
You know where the
but I know where.
By, when they're near where the High Line was, right?
No, that High Line, that's where I used to shop.
Okay.
In that shopping center there. But Griffin Road, if you're on going south on 95, and the design center is on the left, or it used to be the Dakota. I don't know what it is now.
It's still there.
Yeah, I worked in an art gallery there. Club bartended at night, but I worked in that really cool gallery there. But I lived, if you go west on Griffin Road, just a short period. There's the old Tropical Acres. Because it used to be like real rednecky, like trailer parks and things like that, where all the French Canadians would come down and spend, you know, that's where their trailer homes were. And it was this little tiny pocket neighborhood that was, you know, like little post-war. But it was great. It was great, 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 great. We had a beautiful little house, and it was convenient, everything. And the whole point of this is I always used to go to – I went to Dania Beach a lot. I was younger, and we went to the beach all the time. But I loved Dania Beach. And Dania had fought, I guess, for years to keep development out. Is there anything going on there now that you're aware of? Like, between Hollandale and Lauderdale?
A little bit, but not.
Well, they built the casino. The Dania High Line became a full-fledged casino trying to compete with the Seminole Indians. Mm-hmm. So everybody for the last 3 years was thinking that the house over in Tallahassee was going to approve the other, you know, dog tracks and highlights.
Right, right.
But that fell through. But they went ahead and invested. It's a nice casino. Mm-hmm. You know, I play in a high-stakes poker game there with a guy that was on Survivor, Albert, that 2012 runner-up Survivor. He hosts the game there. And Jennifer's been with me. It's nice. I mean, it's okay. But Dania's building up. I mean,
Yeah, because I guess I was in the era, still the small town era then. Because like when I got the itch to move there, I spent 2 weeks with my friends Barbara and what was the other chick's name? And they lived in West Palm. And that's when Singer Island was tiki bars. Singer Island and Jupiter.
No.
Huh?
My girlfriend lives there.
Yeah.
Nice place she is.
Yeah. Well, it's all beautiful condos in that. But yeah. Seriously, back then it was tiki bars and things like that. And that's where I fell in love with it. And then when I lived in Lauderdale, it was just quiet. I mean, that's still where people went for spring break. So it would get crazy.
It's getting built up though now.
Yeah.
A lot more going on.
I know. Like back then, A1A, you could go in both directions on A1A. And I mean, I loved it. I was just a kid and, you know, having fun.
You got to come back and visit, Bob.
You know, it's been so many years since I've been back. And the thing about it is that I ended up on South Beach right when the gentrification was starting. And it was the coolest place in the world to live at that time. And my friends that live there now are like, don't come back. It'll break your heart.
Really?
Yeah. Because, you know, the beach was, you know, skyrocketing when I was living there. And that's when all the cool people started split. You know, in my opinion, because they were bringing out, there were all the little mom and pop businesses that made it on Washington Avenue through all the lean years were like, what's going on in Beverly Hills now? Like overnight, they're all gone. And all the deco hotels, you know, were turning into the shishi, Euro trash kind of restaurants and all. And, you know, it was just very uninviting feeling. And then they just started building and building. So, I mean, I haven't been back in so many years. I'd move back to Lauderdale in a heartbeat, in a New York minute. But any further south than that, I'd have to say no. But I guess I should come for a visit.
It's changed a lot. Even since I was gone, since like 04, it's built up a lot. And they're tearing a lot of stuff down now.
Yeah, but it's still a great place to live, though.
To meet my friends Gail and... God, I'm getting old. This couple that they summer here, they live here in the winter and they have a home in Palm Beach. And they got lots of dough, I guess. But Gail, you'll love her. She's cool as shit.
She's here now?
No, they live there now. They're there now. I need to go home and dig up her email. And so you can just send her one, tell her you're a friend of mine. And she's a doll. And he was the CEO of Sara Lee, I think, for a long time. But they're just really nice people. And he collects Ferraris.
That's nice.
It's pretty cool. But they're super nice, and you'll love Gail. She's neat. But I want to talk about you again. Now let's get back to you being psychic. I'm reading the book. We went into a little bit. I hope you don't mind me talking about the accident, you had talked about it before, but reading into the book, I mean, it's just so much more detailed and that sort of thing. And it's just, I cried all the way up to chapter 3. How could you not? You know.
Yeah.
And but the accident itself, you don't remember anything about it? Because I know exactly where you were. Exactly.
Yeah, you do.
I know exactly where you were sitting. And I didn't, I guess I just didn't realize, you know, you probably said, but that you got hit at a dead stop from somebody going 60 miles an hour.
Yeah.
In a Cavalier convertible, which is a small car.
Yeah, it was a rental. So the car spun around and landed on the median, which mm-hmm. saved us from getting hit from oncoming traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was.
But you were, how long did it take for you to be cut out?
Just under 2 hours. It took them almost 2 hours to cut me out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
It was because the car was so mangled.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I had no proper picture in it. It was just. Now, were they able to get Tony out any faster? Because he hung with you for a long.
The same. Because when they found us, he was on top of me. The back end of the car went up over the front.
Holy shit.
So there was only like 3 feet of the car left. And there was, you know, gasoline all over the street. Mm-hmm. So it was took.
Did the person that hit you lose their life?
They didn't. They actually, she was in the hospital for like 9 months. And then she was able to come out and go to trial. Worked out good.
Did it?
Yeah. But, you know, Florida back then, I mean, she ended up, I think she was sentenced to like 6 years in prison and served 9 months because of overcrowded.
Mm-hmm.
Jails, but yeah, but she was hurt real bad. She almost didn't make it either.
Well, when I want to get, if you know, getting back to Tony, because it's interesting how you say in the book, you say that he says always with you, but it's when you move into new places is when you seem to experience him coming around. Is that right?
Yeah,
or at least that. So go ahead.
Yeah, and every time I moved to a new house over 20 plus years, the first like right, week or so he shows up, but it's not like I see him. It's like if you were in my house, you would see him too.
That's what I was saying about the couple that came over.
Yeah. So I had one of my nannies. We had an incident where I bought her a watch for Christmas. This was about 5 years ago, I guess, 6 years ago. So the watch was, it needed a link taken out of it. It was too big. So she went in the shower and set the watch on top of the towel in the bathroom, took a shower and came out, which was only like 2 feet from her. Mm. When she came out of the shower, the link was taken out and the watch was fitted for her size.
No kidding.
So that was the first thing, because that was a, she was new to that house, but actually it was longer than that, because Dior was, my daughter was a little bit younger then. So that was the first thing that happened. This nanny had got freaked out by it. And so she was seeing him all over the house. A lot of times he would be in my daughter's room kind of watching over. Mm-hmm. So I saw a psychic here in Los Angeles somewhere, and he was able to connect with him. And I said, well, can you tell him not to reveal himself anymore? Because he was scaring the nanny. So that was the last time that anybody else saw him. I see him, though.
The other medium could... That medium, that's the right word, right? Could connect with him, but mm-hmm. you couldn't. Like, to tell him that?
I could, but, you know, even for me, sometimes I like validation. Because, sure. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm going crazy, you know.
Well, that's what was... See, that's what, in reading in the book, too, is like, how do you, you know, not hear every single person's thoughts all the time? You've got to be able to tune stuff out, right?
Yeah, it's a job. I work at it. But that probably has a lot to do with why I don't sleep real well.
Really? Well, yeah. I got a buttload of Ambien if you want some.
It works, but I got to stay focused.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like, you know, like if you're standing out on Sunset Strip and you hear all that noise, that's what it sounds like for me right now in here.
Really?
Yeah, all the time. So I have to learn to, you know, tune it out.
I'm trying to think of what, if this is even, because I'm not trying to make light of this by any means, but it was some show like, what's her, Medium, remember that was on, which I loved her, Patricia Arquette. Or maybe it was a movie or something.
Medium, yeah, it was based on the girl, I forget her name. Oh, God, what's her name? She was on The Housewives. She was on a couple episodes because she was friends with Camille Grammer. But she kind of made herself not look so great. So I think something kind of happened with her career a little bit mm-hmm. after that. But she's really gifted.
Well, that's what it was. It was the scene. It was where the woman, I think suddenly came out with a gift. And then, but there were all these people coming in all the time. Maybe it was friggin' Ghost. When that scene with Whoopi Goldberg and everybody's coming in,
that's how it is, you know.
Because like when you were here last time and you said, "Boom, my mom was here all of a sudden."
Yeah,
and she pops around. I carry that with me a lot now too, knowing that she, you know, there's certain things I can't do anymore because I know she's watching. But
no, she wouldn't have it any other way. She says,
"Really?
Yeah."
Can you? We were going to talk about doing a private reading, but can I just ask you a question now? Sure. That's very personal.
Sure.
But even though we're doing it on the Bob Dean Show, no. Yeah, I lost our family home because of a flood in Tennessee, and I was insured out the ass, but it also had things to do with Wells Fargo home mortgage and all that sort of thing. And I'm probably going to start crying because I have this carry this tremendous guilt about it. And my siblings are like, Bob, just let it go. Because what happened was mother passed away and there wasn't any money. It was just the house that my father, because my father had business issues and he worked very hard and he was a wonderful guy. But there was really no money left. And he always said, I will never let your mother go without this home. And then mom passed away and I discussed it with my brother and my sisters. And I'm like, well, what do you want to do? And they're like, well, just, have you been there? And I said, well, let's just keep it. It's real estate. It can do nothing but go up. And then I took a small loan against it to start remodeling it. It's a beautiful 4-bedroom townhome. So I didn't own the property, but my father bought it in like 1977 when it was brand new. And the flood comes, and just through a variety of circumstances that were truly out of my control. And I fought really, really hard. I did almost have a actual nervous breakdown.
Yeah, you were close.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah. So before you brought up your sibling saying, you know, let it go, your mom came in right away and said basically the same thing, that he's carrying this around. But she says it like in a way that she's like, Bob, just get over it. She doesn't, not in a heartless way, but she doesn't want you carrying that that guilt, because everybody's happy, her and your father. Your father's on the other side.
Yeah.
Okay. But were they divorced before they?
No. They had issues like everybody, but
okay,
yeah,
because I see that right before he died, it's not like they were super close.
That, I was in Florida, and I don't know.
Yeah, they had issues, but they're together. My point is that they're both saying, like,
that's, I swear to God, it's, because I think I'm over it.
She says it's a wasted emotion. And,
thanks, Mom.
And your siblings will back her up with that.
Yeah, my sister Deb has passed too. I don't know if she's saying anything, but.
Sister?
My oldest sister.
She was older.
Yeah. And she would be 62 maybe now. She was real cool. She was like.
Was she close with your mom?
And they were exactly alike.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like when I'd go to see my sister, and she lived in the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania with her husband, and she was exactly like my mom with her behavior and her mannerisms and all. But there's some things I won't discuss on camera that I learned later that caused them, you know. I mean, my mother loved her children, but I think my sister resented some things because she was the firstborn, the oldest kid, and that, you know, what the oldest child goes through. I mean, I was the youngest, so I had it so easy.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, I'm sure they have peace together now.
We can talk about it later.
Okay.
I see her. She's here.
My sister?
Yeah.
How's she doing?
She's actually not doing most of the talking your mother is.
But they're together, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty neat.
She's saying some things never change. So, I don't know. Your mother just has a lot to say.
Yeah, maybe we could talk about this a little bit more later. Yeah. I'd appreciate that. But that house thing, I'm telling you, that's what everybody tells me, and I just wish I could.
It's a cross that you felt you had to bear in this lifetime, but nobody else in your family is upset about it. Nobody even, your siblings never even had a little bit of like secret grudge about it. It's only something your mom's saying that you have had the issues with.
Oh, that's good to know.
Let it go.
I wish I could.
Let it go.
Especially, you know. But then what am I going to complain about?
some of the patrons at
the bar. Yeah, well, the bar's closing, and let me tell you
tomorrow,
what.
Tomorrow, right?
The 10th, and I wish you were going to be here.
Sunday.
It's supposed to be the 10th,
okay.
I know it'll be packed, but that's the day of my dance-a-thon at the Abbey, as I mentioned, and I get so shit-faced, and I make no apologies for it. So Juan's going to be there by himself, and then I know everybody's going to want to go there after. Because normally I go to Dantana's, but we'll have to go and say goodbye. But I know he'll probably need my help, and I'll be back there all drunk. But shouldn't say that on camera either, should I? But anyway, yeah, so Bob, losing my job. It's the first time. I've been a bartender for 35 years, and this is the first gig I've ever had where I didn't get fired. And it's usually normally like clockwork every 3 years for my attitude. And it's like something like somebody will be like, oh, I can tell the difference between Smirnoff and or Grey Goose and a Bloody Mary. I'm like, you're out of your mind, you idiot. You can't. This is my. I can't believe I didn't get fired for this. This guy walked in, and I use this in my act. This guy comes in. I'm standing there polishing a glass, like facing the door. And this nice-looking young guy comes in. He's wearing like gray slacks and a blue blazer, and he walks up. And before I could even say, hey, how you doing? He goes, I want a Belvedere martini straight up with blue cheese olives and shake it violently. And I went, like your baby. Oh. I just slipped out. I was like your baby? And he goes like this. And I go, right away. And I turn around. I'm like, oh, man, I am so fucking fired.
But you weren't, were you?
No, that's the same thing. This is for saying something like that in other places. But this is the longest bar gig I've ever had. So it's really sad to say goodbye because we're family, you know, despite the – you know, Wolfgang's has been good to us, and despite all the bitching and moaning we all do about, they should be done that way, and he's not. We're all
get a job at the Tattletale. I always wanted to go in there.
Me too.
It
in
looks
Culver
like such
City.
A seedy little dirty.
Seedy little dirty hole in the wall. And yeah. A friend of mine who is, she is a big time businesswoman.
Yeah.
She used to go in there all the time because their office has moved over to Culver City. And she said, I went in there with some people from the office one day and we thought it was going to be, and she said, it was the coolest, friendliest place.
Really?
The Tattletale
Does
Lounge.
Does it ever close or it's closed from like 7 a.m. to 11?
I think they open at like 6.
Yeah, I got to go check it out.
We need to. I've always wanted to go there, and there's some other little hole in the walls, too. But see, that's what I did on, you know, back in the bad old days. And I know you know what I'm thinking right now, so be quiet. But in Miami, you know, when we just didn't get a lot of sleep, you know.
Yes.
And we would wait up, you know, those bars, you know, they'd throw you out at 6. Like the club that I ran that had the two spirits in it. Oh, maybe.
I talk about Dantana's in there. Did you get to that?
No, I haven't gotten to that part yet. Yeah. Are there spirits in there?
No, it's just... People always seem to want readings when I'm in there, and you know those drinks are so strong. I tend to tell a lot more when I've at least had one martini, which I know I shouldn't, but I only give information that people ask for, though.
Right.
I never volunteer it.
Well, I don't know what to say on that one because I'm just thinking about the because what I'm doing is picturing the bar crowd in Dantana's, and I can't go in that place unless I'm shit faced. I mean, I've got to be the first one there, or. You know, because you know how it is like late at night and it's guess what?
They're waiting for us.
Are they?
Yeah. You laugh.
But the bar that I ran on Miami Beach, I don't know, would you be able to even fine tune in on anything? There was a woman named Jean who was murdered.
Yeah, I was just going to say she's since passed.
Yeah. And she was a tiny petite blonde and she was a lesbian, but it was a straight bar. And it was called the Rhinestone Cowboy. And this guy named Henry Welsh, who was kind of, this is right when Miami Beach was still a really rough place. And the bar was on Washington Avenue. And Henry, and I get this story because the murders happened in 1985.
I was going to say early 80s.
Yeah.
85, okay.
And I talked to witnesses who were sitting at the bar. There were 7 people. And I talked to all of them. And they all corroborated the same story, is that this guy, Henry, had a crush on this woman. And she was like, it's never going to happen because she had a partner. And he got up from the bar and he walked behind the bar and he stabbed her 12 times. And then he dropped her body. And I think her dying words were, this is my bar, I'll get you. And then he went into the men's room. The men's room and ladies' room were just 2 one-holers right next to each other. And he washed the blood off it because one of the woman who wasn't working, but she was bartending there, she said, I don't know what possessed me, but I'll follow him. And he was washing the blood off his hands in like the little reservoir of water at the bottom of the urinal. He was like splashing the blood. We had a haunted urinal. And it was crazy because that damn, everything was new. And this has been over 20 years ago now, but she was so active but when he would come, and then there were the 2 girls that came in one night and they were sitting at the end of the bar and it was early and they were just like these 2 young girls, looked they were real hip in their leather jackets and stuff, but they were real sweet. And one girl goes, you have a spirit in here, don't you? And I'm like, well, some say. And she goes, she's a short blonde and she's crazy about you because I love the bar. And I was supposed to buy into it. It was very heartbreaking. But she said, she follows you everywhere. And this girl could see her and her friend could hear. Couldn't see, but could hear. Mm-hmm. And they were, I think they came back, this is the second time, and they were the same thing. And they were just down there talking, and all of a sudden, and it was early, you know, because the bar was open until 5 a.m., so we didn't get busy until 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And I saw them, they were looking around. I'm trying to remember exactly how, but they were like looking around, and they were very concerned looking. And I'm like, what's up? And they go, something's wrong. Something's really, really wrong. And the way they described it is that Henry, who they later found, they found him dead in Loomis Park.
I was just going to say, he's not alive either, but her and Henry are definitely together on the other side.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Because I heard that this is the way the story went, is that, you know, he stabbed her because he loved her. But when he would come into the bar, she would freak out, is what these girls told me. Because you could see her. She was like the Tasmanian devil. You know, I'd catch her out of the corner of my eye and it would go, whoosh, didn't fly like this way. And that was back in the days of not these jukeboxes. There are these little machines on the side of the wall when I'm too drunk to figure out how to use them. But you went over to the Rockola jukebox and the pages flipped, you know. And we burned out 3 of those jukeboxes. Whenever the song, what was the country and western song? Hank Williams. You're cheating hard or something. But the jukebox would go crazy. It would be like a deck of cards going. It was neat. But my heart always broke because the woman that owned the bar, when I worked there, she sold it. You know, I was supposed to be buying into it a percentage and blah, blah, blah. But she and just decided she wanted to become a lesbian and move to Taos, New Mexico and make pots. So she sold it like that. And I all and it was very heartbreaking then. But I always wondered what happened to Jean, if they ever exercised her out of there or if she was still stuck in that building. But Henry would come in. He wasn't. Huh?
Yeah. Jean is. I don't see. She's like gone. I don't mean.
From the. She's not. Her soul or whatever you call it. Her ghost is no longer in the.
She does kind of go in and out daily. But she only does it for she's telling me entertainment purposes. Was she like a funny person or no?
I never knew her. She was a jokester. You would take her finger and run it up your butt crack. Because that's when you could smoke, you know, and I'd be standing there with my foot on the bar. And the other girl said that she followed me everywhere. And like, I would just hop up and sit on the rail and thing behind the bar. And she goes, she's sitting right next to you right now. She's just sitting, and she was tiny with a blonde ponytail or long blonde hair, something like that. But she followed me around everywhere. And because this other girl said that, because I love that bar, I loved it. And it was the coolest bar on the beach. They each had a Bob Dean fan club, I have to tell you about too. These girls formed and we would wreck the beach on Monday nights.
So let me know in the next few days if you find money or change on the ground.
Okay.
And then I'll tell you why.
All right. Ooh, are you getting all that, Sammy? Mm-hmm. I can't wait. Yeah. I love talking with you. How much time do we have?
I got about 12 minutes.
Oh, cool. Anything else you want to touch on?
Anything else you want to touch on?
Well, there's a ton of stuff I want to touch on, but we only have 12 minutes.
Ask away.
Ask away. My main question was about the house. Oh, what do you think? Is anything good going to happen with my comedy career?
It'll happen if you want it to. But you got to get the bartending sometimes took up your time where it didn't allow you to get jobs that you would have been able to get.
That's exactly
it's showing me.
It's exactly it. I've been afraid to really, and it's a lame excuse because I'm a damn good comic.
No, but
I mean, because Wolfgang's is a great gig.
Yeah, it was steady.
And it was just steady, and
it wasn't a passion.
So what I'd like to do now, if I can swing it for as long as I can, is not bartend, which is really all I know. I mean, I could get a job doing anything, and I've already got a couple of good leads in the neighborhood. But I'd like to be able to take as much as I can so I can go out at night and do, you know, even the good comics got to go to open mics and things like that. You know, you stand in line and wait your turn and you keep working on your act. And Dennis and I wanted to cruise up to Northern California and then come down and, you know, just take maybe 2 weeks, but not back to back. Because, I mean, I'd hate to have to burn through that $67 in my savings account all at once.
You could always drive Uber between your gigs, like from your house. Somebody needs a ride.
Seriously. I've got a couple of friends that do that now.
To your open mic.
Right. But I mean, yeah, I really want to work on that. And how about this show? Is this show going to
ka-ching
for us at some point?
Something will trigger it to, I mean, I know you're on YouTube and.
We're on iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube. But we need to get out there and get some advertisers so we can start making some money. Because this show is a great show, and I have great guests like yourself. And, you know, I'm having people from television and movies and writers and documentary producers and comics. I'm really proud of this damn show. It's a great show. But
I think you need to – you're too toned down, though, Bob. You need to really let loose. Let the people see just how dirty you are outside of this. Don't be shy.
Really?
Yeah.
Just be like I normally am in real life.
It's turning red right now.
Shit, man. I mean, I just pretend like I'm driving and how I talk to people behind the wheel.
Yeah. People want to hear that.
And oh, my God. I'm such
like
an ass.
Feel like you're more relatable.
Well, geez, I'm going to get shot. But I figured the ways that I was going to die is either getting shot for mouthing off in with my road rage, which is you know, I say
things. I got some of it outside walking.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. You did. I had something to say to the Uber driver. I hate Uber drivers, and I'm sorry. I know some of my, I've got a couple of friends who drive Ubers, but what the fuck is the deal with stopping wherever you want just because you put on your little hazard lights? No, 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 you can't do that. You can't. This Uber driver did that on Little Santa Monica, right where you're turning on the Cannon.
Yeah.
He stopped right there by the bank. And this is back when Ubers really first started going. And I, you know, and people are just edging around him. And I was in my big, I had this big old Buick station wagon with the wood grain sides and the glass roof. And she's all beat up. And she used to be beautiful, but she's kind of threatening looking now. So that's what I, and so I pull up it as we're at inching around, inch by inch. And I go, do you need some help? And this guy goes, he's like, nah, I'm all right. I didn't even look. He goes, nah, I'm okay. And then as I pass by, I see the little Uber thing in his window. And I'm like, you son of a bitch. You can't just stop wherever you want. And he goes, mind your business like that. And I go, okay. So I pulled in front of him and I backed the Buick all the way up to where I almost touched his bumper as his fare gets in, but he couldn't get around me because the traffic was so bad. And I was like, I lit up a cigarette and he's like, honk, honk, honk. I'm like, screw you.
You little ball buster.
Oh my God. This one, I got to tell the story about the lady in the, right in the New Art Theater on Santa Monica Boulevard. You know that is right.
Yeah.
That's my neck of the woods over there.
Yeah.
And, This woman in a Camry comes flying across three lanes of traffic and basically cuts me off. And I mean, we're inching along because it's rush hour and you know how crazy it is at the expressway there. So of course I do the adult thing and I flip her off. Well, she gets out of the car and it's this Hispanic woman about my age and she's wearing really tight Levi's and a wife beater tucked in. She's got really short hair and she's got this big ass tattoo that's like in progress. It was just like the red outline. And she comes up, she's like, come on, get out of the car, get out of the car. I swear. And I press the window button, it goes down, and I go, you're joking, right? And she goes, come on, motherfucker, get out of the car, get out of the car. And she's wigging her fist. And I go, really dramatically, I go, nice ink, grandma. And I press the button and the window rolls up. And she was so enraged. And I'm just like, dee, 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 dee. She goes and she opens the door. And you know how there's the thing for the trunk and the thing for the gas, right? Well, she flicks the wrong thing and the gas door pops open, which makes me go. Then she flips the trunk open and goes and pulls out a driver. And there were no other golf clubs in the trunk. So I was like,
oh, really?
Yeah, she got a fucking golf club out. She starts walking up toward the car. And that's when I like put it in reverse and I made people move. I'm like, excuse me, boop.
I did have a little road rage chair like 5 years ago. I was pissed because some guy in one of those like, is it BMW M5 or whatever?
Mm-hmm. The little guy.
Yeah, flying down Little Santa Monica and cut me off so bad he almost hit the front of my car. So we come up to the next light and he's in front of me. I was so pissed. I was in my Range Rover and he was in that thing, and I slowly pushed his car into the middle of the intersection. And he got out.
Had a girl.
He got out and came like pissed off, came over to my car. You know, I have limo tint windows, and I put the window down. He was like, turned around, got back in his car, and it was in the middle of the intersection.
I love it.
But you know, they drive like idiots in the.
It's out of control. And you can always tell the biggest douchebags are the ones that drive the low line BMWs and Benz.
Yeah.
They're, you know, the young people that have like the 3 Series or, you know, right? Well, they're the ones that just go 400 friggin' miles an hour and cut you off. And what about these mufflers that pop? You know, back when I was a kid, that was, you wanted to fix that. And now they're these loud ass mufflers that go pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, it's no.
Just want to slap them. Do you play golf?
I used to play golf. I don't play too much anymore. We were just talking about that like probably 2 or 3 weeks ago. Trying to, you know, we me and her work out a lot, and we were working out by a golf course, riding bikes, and so we started talking about it. I kind of missed it a little bit, but, you know.
Well, I was just thinking, because I'm thinking of friends, and David and Rhonda Clanton. David was my first roommate, and he and his wife Rhonda live in Miami Lakes, and he's a very successful business, and his daughter lives here she was in Beverly Hills. She's Rachel. Remember Rachel Clanton, Sammy? She's beautiful. She was a model. Well, she is a model and a photographer, and she's just a sweetheart. But her little brother, Luke, is the number one golfer in the world in his age group. He's like 15.
Oh, what's his name?
Luke Clanton.
I'll have to look them up.
Yeah. And but David, you know, he golfs too. And I was like, maybe someday y'all could get together with them. They're really,
what are they doing in Miami Lakes?
He's got his own business, Touch of Class Enterprises. He dabbles in all kinds of things. He was always one of those.
We need to get you down there, and let's all go out to dinner one night.
This guy, he's a blonde haired, blue eyed Swede, but he's from North Carolina, so he's just real country. But he's really good looking. And when we were young, he used to get himself in so. I love this story. I got to tell you. We tripped on acid. It was the first day we ever did. And when we know, he was 25, I was 22. I thought he had just gotten out of the Army. We met in Nashville because he was visiting, and we moved to Florida together. And he had like 45 different girlfriends at a time. And this is way back when I was in the closet, you know, and he's like one of the first people I came out to, and he was a great friend about it, and we're still tight to this day. But we just tripped our asses off, had the best day driving around his little yellow Triumph, and we got thrown out of a Rolls Royce dealership and blah, 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 blah. So we go, but we lived on 135th and Biscayne, which I understand now is not such a great neighborhood, but it used to be great. I mean, we lived at the Waterside Tower, which was right down, you know, blah, blah. We lucked into this apartment as punk kids. And, we went for a swim. We go back upstairs. Remember those dolphin shorts were real popular back then, right? So I'm wearing a pair of dolphin shorts and I'm just watching TV. And he goes, hey, this girl's coming over that I'm kind of banging, but she's older. She was like 35, right, at the time. And I'm like, yeah, all right, whatever. So the buzzer rings from the lobby. She comes up and I hear him talking in the foyer and he starts laughing. He comes over and he goes, hey, man, do you think maybe you could put on some underwear or a jock or something? And I looked down and all my junk's hanging out. And I was like, I'm sorry. So I just go back to my bedroom, right? Well, 6 months later, it's really important. 6 months later, I go on a job interview at a Sheraton hotel for a bartending job. And I'm wearing khaki pants and a blue blazer and a red striped club tie. And I hand the woman my resume. It's this very pretty woman, and she goes, she sits down and she looks at it and she goes, well, you certainly look a lot different without your balls hanging out. I went, excuse me? She goes, I'm David's friend. And I did it all, came rushing back. I was like, oh my God. I go, well, I guess I took up enough of your time already. But she hired me.
Of course she did.
But isn't that, that's a good story, man.
Looked like.
Yeah, right. A long time ago. I guess that's kind of our time, right? And is there anything else you want to add? We could sit here and talk all day.
We could. I can come back the end of the week.
Don't you?
Yeah. Well, I'll come back the end of the week.
What? Not this week. We don't have, right? It would have to be next week.
Do like, can you do it over the...
Over the phone?
Yeah.
Can you call in? You can call in from...
Yeah, I've done call-ins.
Would you do maybe, if we could work it out, like a little call-in, like not every single show, but when you get back home?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be sweet. How about that, Sam? Yeah, neato. We have a question of the week. Is anybody dialing our number? Mm-mm. What the fuck is wrong with you people? I don't even remember what it is.
They're nervous.
Do you remember what it is?
Oh, yeah.
The Bob Dean Show. Yay. Has a call-in number where you can post comments and questions and ask me about who does my hair. Because we know you're watching people, because people are coming into my bar going, I freaking love your show, blah, 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 blah. Or our show. But I always forget to tell them that because forever I'm like, Sammy, we need a phone number. People can call in. And now I can't even remember what it is.
I'm going to get it.
It's written down here in the podcast Bible somewhere.
I got it.
It is?
It's 323-300-4092.
That's the number. And it's strange when you call it. Because it doesn't just go, hello, you have reached the Bob Dean Show. It goes through this, like, Google phone app recording message, something. So please, let us know what you think. Even if it's bad, because I could care less what anybody thinks. I guess, let's see what else. Oh, I will be at Bar Lubitsch doing a set on April Fool's Day, April 1st. I think that's a Monday night. And Bar Lubitsch is cool. It's an old bar that I didn't even know existed on. You ever been there?
No. Where is it?
It's on Santa Monica Boulevard. And it's like an old, it's not like it's done up like an old bar. It's an old bar. And they've got a room in the back where they do stand up. And it's a really cool room. So I will be there with Speakeasy Comedy, Ray Ray's and his group. And that's the only show I've got coming up that I'm aware of right now. Hopefully more to become after the restaurant closes. And again, let's see what else. I don't think I did. I forget anything? That's it. Thank you very much for watching and listening. Please, please, please subscribe to us on iTunes. You can also follow The Bob Dean Show, if you would please, on iHeartRadio, on your apps on your phones. If you have an Android device, it is Stitcher, S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. And watch us on YouTube and dream about me. Thank you, guys. Thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
I love you both. And Sammy, thanks. And that's it. Bye.